You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, we're brought to you by Rock Auto. The Tigers live to play another day. LSU coming out of the loser's bracket manages to win three games in 2 days to force a decisive regional championship tonight, Monday night, in Eugene against the Oregon Ducks. We will preview that game here in just a bit. Let's go through, however, how we got to this point. So, of course, on Friday, LSU went out, a disappointing regional debut against Gonzaga. Alec Jacob was phenomenal from Gonzaga, and he shut LSU out 3-0. The hunches that Palmieri played kind of came up snake eyes. He started Will Safford at second base. Safford was 0-for-2. He struck out. Also had a rough go at second base as well. He would ultimately be replaced at second base by Zach Arnold. But LSU did get a competent performance out of Landon Marceau. 5 2/3, he wasn't dominant, but allowed just 3 runs. So it's tough whenever you look at that, when your starter gets you into the sixth inning and allows just 3 runs, to say it was a rough outing. But Gonzaga's offense made Landon Marceau work. It's something we talked about last week, 101 pitches for Marceau, and then LSU got to the finish line with Hasty, Wittmeyer, and Floyd, which set up the win-or-go-home scenario that we figured LSU was going to face at some point over the weekend. It was against Central Connecticut State. Listen, Dylan Cruz got moved into the leadoff spot, homered to open the game. LSU put up a 2-spot in the first, but then Central Connecticut State rallied with a 5-spot in the second off of Mikhail Hilliard. And the story of this game, though, is that LSU's season could have come to an end right there. This is a team that could have at that moment decided, it just isn't our time. Let's tap out. It's been that kind of season. But they rallied back. They got a three spot in the third, and then nobody else scored from the fourth until the 10th when Giovanni DiGiacomo came through with the game-winning RBI single. The other part of this game, though, that was the massive story was Garrett Edwards. Mikhail Hilliard only gave you 4. And understanding if you're coming out of the loser's bracket, you're going to have to play 5 games in 4 days. So you needed pitchers to be able to eat up innings, and Garrett Edwards did that. Hilliard gave you 4 as the starter. Garrett Edwards gave you 5 innings of shutout baseball. Struck out 4, did not walk anybody. He grew up in a major way, and then Devin Fontenot needed just 9 pitches to get through the 10th inning. So, LSU eliminates Central Connecticut State, and they move on to Sunday, where you know if they beat Gonzaga, they're going to have to come back and play Oregon. Well, we have talked so much about A.J. Labus and the struggles that he's had over the last month since that outing against Ole Miss, where he had a best outing of his career, a complete game win, 126 pitches against Ole Miss. And A.J. Labus had not been the same guy over the last month, and it did not start well for Labus. He was in a bases-loaded, nobody-out jam to start the game and got out of it allowing just 2 runs. LSU answered with a 4-spot in the bottom of the first, 2 in the second, 2 in the third, and LSU continued to pile up runs from that point, and Labus, with a lead, was dynamite. 8 innings, 123 pitches, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks, allowed just the 4 runs, 2 of them in the first. Basically, if LSU is able to go on and win this regional, it's because of the outing that A.J. Labus gave them. And that was sort of a contagious feeling that went through the program, as you could tell, through the team, as you can tell. This almost feels like a team that needs something good to happen for it to build upon that momentum. And they got it with the big first inning against Gonzaga after Labus struggled. When they gave Labus the lead back, it was on. And, you know, I don't know if this is going to be A.J. Labus's last outing of his career. Certainly hope that the Tigers win tonight and they play in the Super Regional, maybe even into Omaha. But Labus is a fourth-year junior, and he has a decision to make if he's going to come back for a fifth season, if the new coach will welcome him back, whatever it may be. But if the Tigers were to lose tonight, A.J. Labus's career would be over. But if that's how it ends, then he went out doing exactly what he had done for 4 years in Baton Rouge, which is throw strikes, pound the zone, be productive. And he gave LSU the opportunity to advance out of this regional because he ate up eight innings in that ball game. Now, the interesting scenario that unfolded after is what Palmieri elected to do. Trent Vitmeyer pitched the ninth, and then with LSU winning that ball game 9-4, they had to come back about an hour and a half later and face Oregon. And my assumption was Javon Coleman was going to be the starter, either Coleman or Floyd. And what Palmieri elected to do actually was pretty brilliant. He started Trent Vitmeyer and stole an inning. So think of it this way. Had Coleman started, Vitmeyer would have been cold. He would not have been able to come back again against Oregon. But instead, because Vitmeyer was hot and he threw at the end of the Gonzaga game, they were able to keep him hot there during the hour in between games and then let him start and give you another inning. So effectively, you stole an inning with Trent Vitmeyer. You basically think of it as just combining the two games. Vitmeyer just kept pitching, so he really gave you two innings. So you stole an inning against Oregon, and then Javon Coleman was magnificent, like we've talked about. My opinion is he will be a weekend guy. I've said that for a long time. I think Ty Floyd, Javon Coleman, Michael Fowler, those are all guys that are candidates to be weekend guys next year. And Coleman gave you six innings of one-run baseball, struck out six, walked three. He was magnificent. And Javon Coleman did what teams need if you're going to be able to advance in a regional. You're going to, especially at the loser's bracket, you're going to need somebody you're not expecting to have a giant day to have a giant day. And Coleman got you through the seventh inning, which then meant you turned it over to Devin Fontenot for a six-out save, which he's done so many times in his career and did again last evening. So LSU has put themselves in a position now to advance, which is where we'll pick up here in just a second, because I do want to talk about what this means for tonight and what the plan potentially could be against Oregon in this decisive game. But a quick word from Lucy. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people and not patients. Here's what they've done. Lucy created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, cherry ice, citrus, and mint. Lucy is also convenient and discreet. The products can be enjoyed anywhere, flights, at work, on the go, even in the gym. So if you're trying to kick that habit in 2021, get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges, and we're helping make it even more affordable. Right now, for the Locked On College Network listeners, go to lucy.co, that's lucy.co, and use the promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, one word, LOCKEDONCOLLEGE, and get 20% off all products on your first order. Again, lucy.co, use the code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE to get 20% off all products on your first order. Also, I have to read this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine delivered from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co. Be sure to use that promo code LOCKEDONCOLLEGE. And of course, as we love telling you about our friends at Rock Auto, title sponsor here on our Monday show, rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com, rockauto.com. Check them out, whatever part you may need. Carpet or carburetors, motor oil, windshield wipers, if it's a Ford or a Fiat or anything in between, they've got you at Rock Auto, a family-owned and operated online business delivered straight to your door for more than 20 years, rockauto.com. When you get to check out, make sure in the How Did You Hear About Us box, you write Locked On so they know that we sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
We're not on fumes in our bullpen. We've got some guys available. So I think we have a chance to go out there and pitch competitively tomorrow night. And, you know, if we can, you know, be competitive on offense as well. I don't know who Oregon will throw. But, you know, I think it's got the makings of a great ball game for tomorrow night. Definitely must see TV.
It'll be a late one again, 9 o'clock Central Time, first pitch, LSU and Oregon for the regional championship. So the big question is going to be what LSU is going to do on the mound. And I think LSU actually has an amazing opportunity. Now, my feeling was LSU's, we talked about this last week, my feeling was that LSU's only opportunity really to win this regional was through the winner's bracket. Because they could play potentially three or four games, but 5 games in 4 days, just didn't think LSU had the pitching. As we've seen routinely throughout this season, that's kind of been their bugaboo. Now, we've also seen this team play really inconsistent baseball, but also be really good at times when they needed to be. I'll point out the last weekend series against Texas A&M. As LSU is fighting for its regional life, they go out on Thursday and they lose 2-1. Completely lifeless performance. And then they come back and must win situations and win games 2 and 3, effectively punching their ticket to regional. So we've seen this team at times have those moments, but the hallmark of this team is their inconsistency. And that's been the case this entire year, and it is so far this weekend. It was a very disappointing performance on Friday night against Gonzaga, and now they've rallied to win 3 games in 2 days and put themselves in this position where you're starting to buy in again. It's part of this roller coaster that we've all been on with this team all year long. But because Garrett Edwards gave you 5 on Friday, because A.J. Labus was able to give you 6 or 8, and because Javon Coleman came back and gave you 6, you're set up in a position right now where you have really good arms that are available. LSU will have a decision to make about who will start. Will Helmers is kind of an obvious choice because Helmers has been your midweek guy throughout the year. Helmers, if you're keeping track, Will Helmers on the season has made 9 starts in 16 appearances. He's thrown just 37 innings, but he has taken the ball on the bump as a starter. So that would seem sort of like an obvious choice. Ty Floyd has made 19 appearances on the year, but has not yet started a game. But like we talked about with Javon Coleman, Floyd is a guy that has SEC weekend stuff and I think might well be the Friday night guy next year. So maybe the path you take is you start Will Helmers because he has sort of that reputation of being unflappable and he's been in that spot before, starting games even on the road. And you have a quick hook if things go wrong. This is your season. So you lay it all out there and you have Ty Floyd ready to go if and when Will Helmers runs out of gas. You've also got Michael Fowler available. This is a guy who's made 13 appearances. He's got just 17 innings pitched, but Fowler's another guy who can work 3 pitches both sides of the plate, a different arm slot from the other guys, a different delivery, different mechanics. You've got those 3 guys that could very well get you through this ballgame. It's also worth mentioning that as you look up and down this lineup and this roster, you also have Jacob Hasty available. He's a lefty, and he did pitch in the first game. And I'm not telling you that Hasty is going to be this dominant force that you're expecting to come out of the pen, but Jacob Hasty is a guy that if you want a lefty situationally, he's there for you. And then you could also bring back Devin Fontenot tonight. He threw 2 innings last night. He did throw an inning 2 nights ago, but that was just 9 pitches. So Fontenot, theoretically, if you needed an inning out of Devin Fontenot to win a regional, then you could turn to him and hand him the ball again. So I really think LSU has at least 5 pitchers at its disposal tonight. The guys who I think you can't rely on, obviously you're not going to go back to Landon Marceau after throwing 100 pitches on just 3 days rest. I would think Garrett Edwards having thrown 60-plus pitches and same with Mikhail Hilliard there on the shelf, as is A.J. Labus. But aside from those 4 guys, anybody is at your disposal, but the combination in whatever order of Will Helmers, Ty Floyd, Michael Fowler, Jacob Hasty, Devin Fontenot, I think those 5 could get you to the finish line. And also, listen, Trent Ventmeyer probably won't get a shot at pro ball. His career very well could end this season. It's not like you're saving that guy for his long-term possibilities. And if you're Paul Maneri, you don't have to recruit anymore, so you're not worried about what a recruit's parent might say about overusing a guy in a regional. You're just out there trying to win a regional. So Ventmire, if he goes to Paul Maneri and says, "Coach, I feel good," Ventmire could likely get you through a part of this game as well if you absolutely needed him to. Paul Maneri said it there. We're not on fumes. We got enough arms, and he's right. And it's that way, basically, because of the outings they were able to get from Garrett Edwards, A.J. Labus, and Javon Coleman. Put LSU in a position to win this regional. So what might Oregon do tonight? We'll look at that in just a quick second. Let me remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com, the best-tasting protein bar in the world. Order yours today at BuiltBar.com, and make sure you use the code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to save 15% off your order. This has become a part of my daily routine, is eating Built Bar. I have one every single day. If it's a meal replacement at breakfast, if it's my mid-morning snack, if it's the Built Bar I eat right before I go on air to give me the energy to get through a three-hour radio show, Built Bar is there for me. It can be for you as well. High protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for keto, soft and chewy. If you have gagged on awful protein bars your whole life, this is a message you have to hear. Order Built Bar today. BuiltBar.com, BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15 to save 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Okay, let's look at what the Ducks may do tonight against LSU. Of course, you got a rematch in the regional final there at PK Park. Brett Walker took the ball for Oregon against LSU as the starter. So here's what's interesting about this Oregon team. They were really known more as a pitching team than a hitting team. Staff ERA of 3.60, and their frontline guys have been awesome this year. But there is a noticeable drop after your first two starters and really your first three. Robert Ahlstrom started all 14 appearances, 14 starts, a 2.50 ERA. He's burned. Cullen Kafka, 15 starts and 15 appearances, a 3.00 ERA. He's burned. Brett Walker pitched last night for Oregon. Also, 15 appearances, 15 starts, a 3.66 ERA. He's burned. So, Oregon's weekend rotation is done. They're basically now into their midweek, however they're going to piece this together. It's kind of what happened to Gonzaga. Remember, Gonzaga threw Alec Jacob against LSU. They got to the marble game against Oregon. Their number two, Gabe Hughes, has a broken hand. So really, Oregon was throwing its number two, who's actually its ace, and Gonzaga was throwing its number three. So by the time LSU played Gonzaga on Sunday, LSU was throwing Labus, who really had been LSU's two all year, and Gonzaga was basically piecing that together like a midweek game. It's no wonder it played out the way it did. And then, obviously, we saw Oregon last night, and LSU beat Oregon's number three. They beat Brett Walker, Oregon's Sunday guy. So now you go to it. It's basically a midweek game. LSU has Will Helmers, who's their midweek guy. Helmers, they've got Floyd. We just went through it all. Like, LSU's got a handful of arms they can use tonight, and it basically pieces together like a midweek game. So we have discussed here also that LSU is the college baseball midweek champions of the season. So why not win this ball game tonight? When you look at what Oregon may do, here's the pitchers that have actually started a game, aside from the three weekend guys that I just mentioned. Peyton Fuller, three starts, 11 innings pitched on the season. RJ Gordon, three starts, 19 innings pitched total on the season. Logan Mercado has started one game, thrown just six innings. Isaac Ayon has started two games, thrown 36 innings, in 21 appearances, by the way, just two starts. And then Nico Talachi, one start of his 20 appearances, 33 innings pitched. He's got an ERA north of five. My point is, there isn't really a great option there for Oregon. So my guess here, just looking at what they've done, what Oregon has done in the midweek recently, my guess here is that RJ Gordon is going to get the ball tonight against LSU. He has not yet thrown in this regional. He's made 14 appearances, three starts, got a 4.19 ERA in 19 innings pitched. He has 20 strikeouts, so about a strikeout per inning pitched. but also 9 walks. So he's averaging a walk every 2 innings. It's a midweek guy. It's a midweek arm, and a guy that has only started, has only pitched 19 and a third inning. So they may in turn be saying the same about a guy like Will Helmers, but I think LSU knows they have a loaded gun with the amount of options they have out of the bullpen tonight. This heavily favors LSU. Momentum favors LSU. The amount of arms available favors LSU, certainly. And look, we saw offensively LSU's best lineup, which I think they'll run out there again tonight. The one thing from LSU's perspective that we got to consider is no Giovanni DiGiacomo. If he remains out because of the hamstring injury, then you'll likely see Drew Bianco in center, Zach Arnold at second, and then the question becomes, who do you DH? Last night, Brody Drost got the DH assignment against Oregon. Singled in his first at-bat, struck out in his next 3 at-bats. We know Pulmonary likes Mitchell Sanford as well. For me, you know how I feel. That needs to be Cade Beloso. I want my best lineup. I want my most veteran lineup. I want guys that have been in the postseason, been in tough spots. And like we've said all season, Cade Beloso does not have the highest batting average, obviously. He's at .236 on the season. But his on-base percentage is .356. That's higher than Jordan Thompson. That's higher than Zach Arnold. That's higher than Cade. It's right even with Cade Doty. He's higher than, obviously, Alex Milazzo. He's right there with Drew Bianco, as a matter of fact. He's a guy that is not going to strike out and finds ways to get on base. So I would like to see Cade Beloso in the lineup tonight at DH instead of one of the freshmen. We shall see what Pulmonary elects to do, but that should be really the only decision Paul has to make and could very well be the decision that determines whether or not he coaches for another weekend or if he calls it a career after tonight. High drama, and as I've said, I'll leave you with this thought. There were a lot of people who were bemoaning this team. There were a lot of people who did not want to see this team in postseason or did not think this team deserved a postseason berth. As we went through all throughout, yes, this was a team that had the resume that earned and deserved a postseason berth. They also deserved to travel across the country because of their inconsistencies. So they did that. But we also saw a team that was capable of beating Arkansas. We saw a team that was capable, as the season went along, of getting healthier, of getting more stable, of young players growing up and winning series they needed to at times they needed to get into the postseason. They won big games when they had to have it. The winner of this regional is paired with Knoxville and is going to go play Tennessee next weekend. I would absolutely love the opportunity to see that rematch because LSU went to Knoxville and Tennessee's got a guy, Friday guy, in Chad Dallas, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but who is not a dominant Friday night guy. And LSU had game 2-1, but it was disturbed by rain. They restarted the ninth inning on Sunday, and LSU, of course, lost that lead and then lost a 7-inning game 3. I would love to see a legitimate full 3-game weekend series with LSU and Tennessee, a redo to see if the Tigers couldn't punch their ticket to Omaha and send Pulmonary out with one final trip to the College World Series. But you got to win tonight, and I think the Tigers are in great position to do it. We'll see if they can do it, and we'll certainly be back here tomorrow recapping this game, and we hope you enjoy it. It is the Locked On LSU podcast. We're brought to you by Rock Auto. Of course, also remember the Locked On Today podcast. How high is the Titans ceiling with Julio Jones? Hear about that and more today on the Locked On Today podcast. Follow Locked On Today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, please subscribe to Locked On LSU, however you're listening here. It is Locked On LSU. Until tomorrow, your team every day.